Welcome to the first episode of Artifacts. I am your host, Rachel Wilson. What is the difference between invention, innovation, and improvement? To discuss these three words, I really want to talk to you about an artifact, the stereopticon. How do you think this works? What do you think it was made out of? And who would even want it? Stereo means solid in Greek, and optikos is Greek for seeing. So the name of this artifact, the stereopticon, literally means offers solid seeing. Some of you may be saying, but wait, where is the electricity? Nothing seems to be happening. No sound, no lights. So let's take a second to define technology. Technology is any tool used to complete a task, and we would hope that it would make completing that task just a little bit easier. Technology doesn't have to involve lights or sound or movement. And this stereopticon is an example of technology. So let me explain how this works. The human eyes are set apart so that each eye sees the world from a slightly different angle or perspective. So if you close one eye and look with the other at one image on the wall and then swap it out, you'll notice that you don't see exactly the same picture from each of those eyes. Our brains combine the two slightly different eye images into one. So stereopticons use cards made of two nearly twin images. But when we view the cards through special lenses, we see depth in our view instead of flat images. Now, imagine if you were living in a world without photographs, without TV, movies, computers, or cell phones. How amazing would it be to look into some goggles to see a bit of the world in 3D? So this is technology, and who might be interested in buying technology like this? Generally speaking, people don't sit around trying to invent something. Instead, invention happens because someone is trying to solve a problem. Inventions are new ideas that solve a problem. Let's travel back before photography, TV, computers, and cell phones were invented to June of 1838 when a British scientist by the name of Sir Charles Wheatstone talked about his discovery of an illusion of depth using mirrors and our human binocular vision. Wheatstone invented a device called the stereoscope to illustrate this illusion. The trouble was, it was heavy and large, so not portable and not something people were going to want to buy. In fact, it was pretty clunky. Many times, inventions are ideas that never really make it past a drawing or prototype. Sometimes they spark new ideas or uses that lead to innovation where the idea becomes fleshed out into a product that is marketable, as was the case with the stereoscope. 10 years after Wheatstone's discovery and invention, David Brewster, a Scottish scientist, came along with an improvement to the stereoscope design, making it handheld and lighter, since he replaced the mirrors with prisms. His innovation was called the Brewster stereoscope. The stereoscope was presented at the 1851 International Exhibition, and Queen Victoria was obsessed, and her subjects jumped on the stereomania train. Then in 1862, Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr., you may recognize the name, his son was the Supreme Court judge, improved the stereoscope yet again, making it easier to mass produce. And he didn't apply for a patent, so that meant companies all over the place could begin to sell the Holmes stereopticon. These stereopticons were also called magic lanterns, and slide makers were called lanternists. It was Holmes that promoted the use of these portable units in classrooms for the study of geography, history, nature, and reading. In 1923, the cost of a stereo view was 24 cents for grayscale and 60 cents for color, with the cost of a stereoscope being $1.75. So just to give you kind of an idea, in today's market, the $1.75 of 1923 has the same buying power as $23.78. We can say that Brewster and Holmes both created innovations because they started with Wheatstone's invention, so Wheatstone's new idea, and improved its value by making it more portable and accessible to more people, therefore making it more marketable. Let's take a closer look at this artifact. In the late 1800s, most people had a version of the stereo opticon in their homes and invited friends and family to have a look at 3D images of tourist attractions and places far away, out of the reach of most people's travel plans for the time. In fact, people would invite their neighbors, would invite their friends and their families over for dinner. And then in the evening, since there wasn't Netflix at the time, they would sit and look at images in their stereo opticon. As I did my research, I thought it was interesting that there are many stereographs that captured wars, both the Civil War and Spanish-American War, along with disasters such as the San Francisco earthquake of 1906. At the time, newspapers and magazines were still being illustrated with sketches and block prints. Photographs were not being printed yet, so anyone that was reading the newspaper would either have to use their imagination or look at someone's drawing of events that had happened. Photojournalism and newspaper really didn't get started until the 1920s. So these stereo opticon views were the first phase of photojournalism. And I understand how you might not think it's all that spectacular, but for the Victorian era, it was inexpensive visual storytelling. Travel was expensive and not practical for everyone, so this technology gave people, even the poor, a way to experience a larger world. In a time when we were, as a country, really expanding west, so you will see a lot of these stereo cards showing images of the West. Stereo opticons could be bought in drugstores and were even given away by manufacturers as gifts for buying their cereal or tea. Two of the first successful commercial photographers, William and Frederick Langenheim, had introduced stereo opticon slide technology and were producing slides. This hobby became so popular that several companies began printing up to 25,000 stereo views or stereographs, those are the photo cards, every day. Mail order catalogs and door-to-door salesmen were in the business of selling these photo cards, and libraries around the country were stocking thousands of them. By the 1910s, the market was saturated and fewer people were buying stereo cards because a new fad had come on the market, the scenic photo card, which was the scenic postcard. Not to mention, in 1936, Kodachrome color film was being marketed. So in order to stay alive, these companies, such as the Keystone View Company, began selling stereoscopes to schools at a time when educational philosophy was really starting to promote visuals in the classroom, whether that be maps, photographs in textbooks, or stereo opticons. And then in 1939, William B. Grubber introduced the ViewMaster toy of the New York World's Fair. The ViewMaster went on to become one of the top toys of the 20th century, and I remember having one of these toys when I was a child in the late 1900s. Going to the movie theater to see motion pictures like Bambi was a special and rare treat. VCRs weren't popular yet, no doubt, because they cost between $1,000 and $1,500 to buy in 1975. And DVD players weren't even invented yet. The Disney Channel hadn't been created yet. It was magical for me to see some of my favorite characters like Mary Poppins in 3D in my own bedroom. In the 1940s, so going back just a little bit, there was a resurgence of popularity for the stereo opticon technology. So think World War II, and these stereo opticons were used by the military to teach soldiers aircraft and ammunition identification. Clearly, the stereo opticon had a wide range of uses, from entertainment to education to information as a style of current event journalism. But what about the difference between innovation and improvement? Let's do a quick recap. So an invention is a new idea, and it may be marketable, or it may just sit on a shelf in the patent office as a, what we'd call a schematic with a drawing, might have a prototype, and may never really come to fruition. Then we have an innovation. An innovation is any improvement that's made on an invention, so made onto a new idea that adds value to it. And then now we have an improvement. So not every improvement is considered an innovation. Many times improvements are made on a product or an invention that enhances it and may make it more interesting to someone that's purchasing it, may make it a little bit more efficient, tweak it just a little bit. But if it's not really something new that other companies can't replicate easily, it is an improvement, but not an innovation. So let's go back to our stereo opticon. As time passed, more improvements have been made. And there is a company that's been making this product for a very long time, the ViewMaster. Over time, the ViewMaster changed the material the items were made out of. So originally, when we look at the stereo opticon, we're looking at wood on a stick with some goggles and a reel with twin photos. Now we're seeing the ViewMaster, it's being made out of Bakelite, which is a lighter plastic. We've also seen improvements such as adding larger buttons to them to change the picture, making the slot for the reel larger so that changing the reel is easier. These changes were small steps that could easily be done by other companies manufacturing similar products. So when someone tweaks an invention to make it more effective or efficient, they've made an improvement, but not necessarily an innovation. A couple of newer models of the ViewMaster incorporated new technology, such as the 1958 model that used batteries to power an internal light source, and the 1970 introduction of a model called the Talking ViewMaster that included audio technology. Let's fast forward to 2015, and you have the model many of us have in our schools, which incorporates virtual reality and augmented reality. The design of the ViewMaster really hasn't changed that much. In fact, the colors are even similar to the one that I had as a child. But we have the ViewMaster regaining its popularity for the same reasons that it has in the past. It would be unrealistic for me to try to take my class of 25 students on a field trip to Egypt to see the pyramids we so love studying. Can you even imagine the cost? Or how about a trip to Mars? Costly and a bit unsafe, don't you think? However, with the help of a cell phone or portable media device, I can take my class on a journey in 3D from a first-person perspective. I have to admit, when I first tried it out, I felt the same excitement I did when I received my first ViewMaster decades ago. So we have renewed value for the stereoscope. Schools are buying sets for virtual field tripping, parents are buying them at local big box stores for their children's entertainment, and government agencies such as NASA are using the technology to improve the vision of mobile robots. Giving a mobile robot the binocular vision that humans have makes it easier for the person controlling the robot to really get a good visual of the field around the robot, making accidents happen less often because the person that is looking for the robot has a wider view of their field and can anticipate obstacles that may be in the way of the robot. So what do you think the stereo opticon or the ViewMaster will look like in the future? Will there be a future for this product? I think it's interesting that the actual housing of the ViewMaster really hasn't changed all that much. The lenses haven't changed all that much. But now instead of a reel, we're using our electronic devices and melding together new technology with technology that's been around for quite a while. Thanks again for listening. My name is Rachel Wilson. We'll catch you next time with Artifact.